listening to the Broadcast Basement On Demand Radio Network.
It's the podcast in the Broadcast Basement.
Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day it's different. They change, but they don't know what they want. All they do is change. Going left, going right, travel day, travel night. That's where we'll go. No excuses, no goodbyes, no one cries, no one lies. We'll never know.
Get my mind off of the holiday season and the insanity that it is.
Well, that's going to be pretty easy today with the moves that the Pirates made that smart baseball fans like myself and I believe yourself as well, Chris, will agree was actually good baseball moves. But, of course, Pittsburgh Pirates fans are never happy. I thought I could actually relax through the holiday season. Everybody was mad because, you know what? We didn't have a pitching coach. Guess what, guys? Now we have a pitching coach.
Why was it so important to get a pitching coach? What do they think the pitching coach does before pitchers and catchers report? Like, what exactly is the pitching coach doing in December? Because I know what the pitching coach is doing during December. He's at home with the family shopping for gifts just like the rest of us. He's not doing anything. You know, I don't understand the urgent need for it. Like, I'm glad they have one, but I don't think it was like something that was just this urgent thing that needed to be done.
No, and I mean, believe me, I was like on the fence there. It's like you want to have your whole team together. I definitely get that. You want everybody who's going to be in place for next year. As a fan, you're like thinking, we waited this long for the GM. We waited this long for the manager. We waited this long. We're going to miss out on who the top pitching coach is. But I knew that when we came out with a pitching coach, everybody was either going to be unhappy because they were going to promote message from the assistant pitching coach to the regular pitching coach. And they're going to be like, oh, same old, same old. Or they were going to come up with a new, fresh guy who that nobody had like really ever even heard of. And people were still going to be upset. And they're going to be like, oh, this guy doesn't have enough experience. He wasn't a pitching coach in the majors. He wasn't an assisting pitching coach in the majors.
Well, let's talk about who we got. Who did we get and give everybody like the breakdown who doesn't know for sure who this guy is and what his qualifications are.
Okay, his name is Oscar Marin. Younger brother to Cheech. No, I'm just kidding.
That'd be awesome.
But I've seen a bunch of memes out there already, so this poor guy, I mean, he's just like, okay, of course my name's Marin, but Oscar Marin.
Every time one of his pitchers does something bad, somebody's going to talk about the fact it's probably because they're smoking dope, right? Like, that's going to be the joke.
And the best part is like all the people that make the $5 t-shirts down in the strip are going to have a field day with this one because, mm-hmm. I mean, they mm-hmm. are going to sell shirts, whether this guy's terrible or not. If he's great, you got Marin shirts. If this guy's terrible, you got Marin shirts.
Right. I mean,
so basically this guy, he came from the Texas Rangers. Up until 2017, he was in the Ranger system, in their farm system, you know, low A, high A. I think he actually even made it up to double A. And then he scooped up by the Mariners in 2017 to be the pitching coordinator for their whole minor league baseball program, which to me, that's like not the normal chain of command. It's like, okay, we promote a guy usually within our own system to do that. Mariners go out and scoop him up. And as soon as the Rangers can bring him back, they have a spot open as their bullpen coach, they bring the guy back. So obviously I'm thinking they must think something of this guy. He's 37 years old. Everybody said he didn't move up quick enough, which I don't know what quick enough is. They want him here when he's 32. I mean, I'm not really sure what that even means, but it was a guy who basically took a bullpen that was given $8 million total last year. Total to the entire bullpen, and they were near the middle of the pack, you know, in Major League Baseball for bullpens. What else could the guy have done with it?
Here's the thing. You want a guy now that's going to be there and be a steady voice for this, what you want pitchers to do. If Ben Cherington wants to focus on the new age sabermetrics of pitching, then you want to have a guy that's going to preach that kind of thing. If you want somebody who's going to deal with certain analytical data, you want a guy that's going to do that. The manager, the pitching coach, the hitting coach, the bullpen coach, the bench coach, the chances that any of them are the coaches on this team when they win a championship are less than 50-50 because you are in the beginning of a rebuild. You're talking about moving on from Starling Marte. You're talking Chris Archer's come up in trade rumors. This team is tearing down to build back up again. Any Pirates fan out there that doesn't think that that's happening is irrationally just trying to will the team to do what they want them to do. Look, you can agree or disagree with what they're doing. You have every right to debate, hey, they should go and get this guy, and this guy, and they could compete in the Central. I don't know if you'd be right. You could do it, but, you know, I'm not going to sit there and look at this team, and you're not going to sit there and look at this team and say, oh, well, you know, this they're gonna go out and get some free agents, and they're going to go make a run this year. That isn't happening. They're going in the opposite direction with a very purposeful move. All the reports out of the winter meeting say that everything that we said they're probably going to do with Ben Cherington in terms of tearing things down and trading players away, that's what all the rumors were. All the big guys are saying, they're shopping this guy, they're shopping this guy, they're shopping this guy. They're doing exactly what we said we thought they were going to do. Doesn't matter if you agree with it or not, that's what they're going to do. So why are you so upset about the pitching coach? Like, nobody should be angry about the pitching coach. Do you know him on a personal level? Is there a picture of him on the internet kicking a puppy? I don't understand it.
Yeah, there's no reason to be upset about it. And I'm actually kind of excited about it. You're going younger, you're going more fresh, you're going what I believe is more analytical. And if this guy can bring some positive, I don't know, camaraderie within the club or get the guys pitching in the right direction or whatever it is, I don't think he's going to do a terrible job. And everybody's crucifying him before he even, I don't even know if he's even stepped foot in Pittsburgh yet. They might have interviewed him at the winter meetings and then talked to him over the phone and said, you know what, dude, you don't need to come in to sign the contract till after the holidays. We'll mail it to you, whatever it is. We're good to go.
There's nothing to do here with this. Right. There's nothing to do with this. All he needs to do now between now and when pitchers and catchers report, he's got to have some eggnog. He's got to buy a couple of gifts on Amazon. He's got to make it to a few family parties. He's got New Year's to celebrate. And he's got a couple of days where he's going to have to sit down and take some tape and do some notes and go through his pitching staff. And if somebody new gets put on the team, he's got to go through that guy as well. He's got to learn his staff. That's all the guy has to do. Then he's going to pack his bags. He's going to go off to spring training. And nobody should be concerned about anything that he does. Nobody should be concerned about anything he does unless all of a sudden guys that had shown promise, and there were very few last year, unless those guys get worse. I mean, what are you going to do? If Chris Archer goes out there again this year with like a 1.62 whip, are you gonna sit around and say it's his fault? No, it's probably because Chris Archer sucks. There's not very much that he could do except positive things. So why don't you just give the guy a chance? We talk too much about a pitching coach. What else have they done? We got a catcher now, right?
Yeah, we definitely have a catcher, and he's got awful as well, according to every single Pirates fan imaginable.
Well, he's not a big name. He's not a big name. He's not the name that you wanted.
No, he's not the name that people wanted, but I remember having this conversation right after the season ended as to guys that we could potentially trade for, that could potentially be free agents, and one of the places we turned was towards the Blue Jays organization. They had three catchers, and we said either one of them wasn't going to make the team, they were going to be willing to trade one. Well, it happened to be that Luke Maley was the odd man out at the non-tender deadline. They chose to non-tender him, and we went in and scooped him up, and they signed him to a deal. We talked about this. I was going to say we talked about it. That's going to be my catchphrase for this. Is we talked about this already, Chris. They wanted a guy who could be a stopgap. They wanted a guy that could be here for 2 to 3 years. Well, you have a guy who just became arbitration eligible this year. He's 28 years old. You sign him to a one-year deal. He was due to make, I think it was somewhere around like $800,000. In arbitration, you may have given him $750,000. You may have given him $1 million. We don't know exactly what the terms of the deal are yet, but then you have a guy who is not free agent eligible until 2013.
What's his name again?
It's Luke Maley.
You know, my only issue with the move is that we had sat around and we had said, I don't care if the guy can hit, I want a guy that helps pitchers. And when you look at the framing rates and who's really good at helping pitchers, he is a very slight negative for what the average is in terms of how he frames pitches and how he helps the pitcher. And so unless somebody says, well, we don't care about how he frames pitches, but for some reason he's good with working with them, like calling the right pitches, and I don't, that, there's no way for me to quantify that as a stat. That's why I could see that argument. If the argument is, hey, we're not trying to win anything this year, we want to improve our young pitchers, catcher will be advanced or will be addressed in a year or so, unless they are able to go out and make a trade Starling Marte, and then they bring in a real good hitting catcher or somebody that's a long-term prospect for the future. Otherwise, all this guy is he's basically a replacement level catcher as to how much he actually benefits the pitching staff. So I do get a little bit of the annoyance when I look up that stat.
Yeah, and the one, I mean, here's the thing is with metrics, and there's a lot of different things that you can look at. I went straight to one of the biggest issues for the Pirates last year as far as catching, and that was defensive runs saved. You had, you know, Jacob Stallings, who was, you know, in the, I think he was like, he was definitely in the top half of that category. I think he fell somewhere around like number 11. And then you had Diaz, who was pretty much down towards the bottom of that. Basically, Luke Maley over the past 2 years in limited action is around 7 defensive runs saved. He projected last year, if he played a full season, to be 11 defensive runs saved. And that's actually like towards the top of the categories. I mean, it's not like, you know, I don't know. What I'm looking here right now, Jacob Stallings had 13 runs saved. He projects out to be 33 runs saved. You got a guy who was 3 runs saved, projected out to be 10 runs saved, as opposed to somebody who's projected to be out in the negative.
Well, and Stallings also fell 12th on the list this year in terms of the benefit that he gave pitchers overall in the season with his pitch framing. So in reality, Stallings should be the number one catcher right now, unless you go out and you get somebody that for some reason needs the start. Stallings should be out there catching a majority of games because he really benefits his pitchers. So if the guy you picked up is a platoon player in case you don't find a catcher, and that's really what he seems to be, Stallings should be the guy that should be back there because he benefits your pitchers. Hey, thanks for listening. If you're into podcasts and you like beer, craft beer reviews, craft brewery tours, fatherhood, drunken singing, outrageousness, late 1990s morning radio, trapped 20 years later at a 9-foot homemade oak bar, the original Broadcast Basement podcast is still available everywhere podcasts can be found and always at broadcastbasement.com. And it is still 30 minutes of good in a world of dumb, with a new on-demand episode every Thursday. Maybe listen to it after this show, which continues now. We said they needed a clean house. They cleaned house. We said that they had to get a general manager in it. It was more forward thinking. They did that. We said they have to pay more attention to analytics. They're doing that. We said that they need to tear things down before they build them back up again. You hear the rumors about Marte and Archer, especially. Those were the two names
and
that started
Frazier.
Popping up.
And
Frazier, the bell of the ball, they called him on MLB Network. Like, that people were so interested in him. I mean, here's the thing. The Pirates were getting mentioned, and those three players were getting mentioned the most as guys that could be moving. And that's what you have to do. You have to find a few guys you can trade for assets that you think will make it into the major leagues and be starters on your team in the next couple of years. You're not expecting them to be a starter next year. You're expecting them to be a starter a couple of years down the line. One of the things that I found the most interesting was the buzz about Marte and the buzz about the Padres. Now, the Padres did make some moves already, and I don't know if they're still interested in Marte, but the Padres seem to be interested in what the Pirates had to offer. I took a look at what the Padres had in their system, and I was trying to figure out, like, well, what matches up with what the Pirates are trying to do? Well, Luis Camposano, who we actually brought up maybe 2 months ago on this show and said, like, that's a guy, he's in the top 10 catching prospects in all of Major League Baseball, according to MLB Pipeline. He's their fifth guy, and their catcher flush. Now, you could go after guys that are also out there, like a Luis Patino, who's a pretty good pitcher in the MLB top 100 and their third best guy.
Joey Cantillo's a guy down there on the list.
You know what a guy I'm really interested in is Ryan Weathers. I think Ryan Weathers, who's not in the top 100 MLB prospects and is sitting in single A ball, just like Camposano, he's got an ETA of 2021. Camposano's got an ETA of 2021. Weathers is only their seventh best guy. If you're trying to compare that, we've seen some teams give away guys in that range and not get major players back. I'm sure he'd be clearly available. Weathers is a son of David Weathers, so he's got a pedigree. He's also one of those guys they gave an awful lot of money to get him to not go to Vanderbilt. He's very young. He's 19 years old. He's got a lot of talent. He's just working things out in single A. These are the guys you want to be looking for because you're going to have an awful lot of control over them when they finally come up. And they're going to be part of the window that opens up in 2021, 2022 when you're ready to compete again. If you want to make that quick turnaround, that's what you're looking at. That's a great trading partner that's flush with talent and maybe looking for one more piece because they're just trying to bulk up. San Diego's going for it. You need teams like that. And you need to make friends with those teams. You need to be good trading partners with those teams. You need to get what you can out of those teams. And like we said, you maximize the deal. You don't want to wait too long where you get nothing. You don't want to jump too early. I like the fact that they basically were sitting around listening during the winter meetings instead of doing anything because they have to see how the market flushes out. I mean, look how players on teams right now are becoming useful. Like 2 weeks ago, would you have thought the guy on the Arizona Diamondbacks, Robbie Ray, would you have even considered him as somebody that's going to be available to somebody and that people are going to give up good prospects for? But after these pitchers started getting signed, now I'm hearing like the Diamondbacks might shop him. You know, they might move on from him because now the market's drying up and there's too many teams looking for pitching. What we have to do is just kind of sit back and say, wait for the market to dry up. Wait for guys to go. Wait for guys to get out of the way. And teams to sit there and say, I would rather trade these prospects to go get this player off of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I think that's exactly what they're doing. You can't fault them for that right now.
No, and you're talking about like teams you should be looking at. And one that I kept on bringing up because there was a post this morning and it was the Padres they talked about. They offered the people that they were talking about offering or getting back for Marte, I thought was absolutely terrible. And then they were talking about
what do they want to offer? What do they want to offer for Marte? Do you remember off the top of your head?
It was Austin Hedges.
Yeah, because they want to keep Camposano. They want to keep all the prospects, but I don't think that the Pirates are interested in that.
Yeah, and that's definitely not going to happen.
Who else do they want to offer?
Oh my God, you're putting me on the spot here. I can't remember.
Were the actual prospects or just the junk that's made it to the majors that they don't want anymore?
It was pretty much the junk. There was guys that
were like,
well,
that's what happens when fans make trade proposals. That's why they're so stupid. That's why when you listen to the radio and you get somebody that gets on a show and they go, this is what I think we should do. We should trade this crappy player and this crappy player for Mike Trout. Like, you know, there's no reasoning with those kind of proposals. You have to actually look at what the market value is and look at past deals and say, is it realistic we could get that kind of a player? It's realistic what I just said that you could probably get off of the Padres. You're going to be at least in that range. I'm sure the conversation with the Padres started with Camposano at catcher. And the Padres are not sure, or the extra players being added in haven't been agreed on to yet, or they just moved on because they thought they could get something better. But that's where the conversation is going to start with the Pirates. They want a catcher prospect. Let's look at the top 10 catchers, according to MLB Pipeline, that are prospects, and what's available to the Pirates. They're not getting Adley Rutschman off of the Orioles because they're building. They're not getting Joey Bart, who's the number 2-1 off of San Francisco, because he is the heir apparent out there, and he's probably coming up and playing this year. Okay, Keibert Ruiz for the Dodgers, they might be interested in that, but they're not in desperation right now where they need to make a deal. Okay, Sean Murphy, the fourth best catching prospect with the A's live off of control, so that isn't the guy that they're going to go after. I don't know whether or not the Angels are looking at Shea Legeliers. He is the fifth highest catcher. Sam Huff out of Texas, the sixth highest catcher. And then Camposano at seven. There's only so many guys that are going to be available that are high-end catching prospects. I think that's why you're hearing so much of a link between the Padres and the Pirates, because they think they got the guy. They're just trying to make the deal.
And you just mentioned a guy from the team that I was going to say would actually make the most sense in my head right now.
Who?
Padres. You said Sam Huff from the Texas Rangers. The Texas Rangers.
You like Sam Huff.
I do like Sam Huff, but I also like the idea that we can get a better deal from the Rangers, because the Rangers, number one, they're moving into a new stadium. If the whole thing didn't burn down, because I don't know if you saw the video the other day, like there was like smoke coming out of the top of it. People were saying they declared a new pope or something, or they were trying to bring in Josh Donaldson. They were burning down the place because they didn't get Rendon. But they're a team that is basically, I think, hungry and trying to sign big name players to come in. They are right around the level to compete, but they're also moving into a new park and they need names. If you're going to sell out seats, you need names.
Well, now here's the thing with the Rangers though. Like, what do you think that they're actually interested in? Because they traded Mazzara away, but they seem to believe that Willie Calhoun, Sinshu Chu, and Joey Gallo are basically their outfield. Now, you could make the argument that you sit there and say, okay, well, one of those guys could become a DH. You could move a Marte out there.
They just went out and traded for Corey Kluber.
Right.
And they traded DeShields, Delino DeShields.
Kluber's got 2 years on his deal. They didn't give up a ton for him, but they want to win while he's out there on the mound for the next 2 years. That's what they want. So they want to win right now. You don't trade for a guy with 2 years left at about $20 million a year if you're not trying to actually compete. So they want to compete. So they're going to want to get as many things. Think of the pitching that they've added so far this year. They added Kluber, Jordan Lyles, and Kyle Gibson from the Twins. And they add them in with Lance Lynn and Mike Minor. So in reality, they're probably not even looking at Archer. Marte would probably be the only thing you can really float their way. But, that's the thing. You have to decide. You have to figure out, are they interested in him for that catcher? Because it's not like they have great catching. And they may be sitting there saying, we don't want to give up that guy. But he's not ready. He's not ready to get there yet. He's still a ways away. He's only an advanced A right now. He's at least 2 to 3 years away from making it to the majors.
Yeah. And they actually have, to tell you the truth, I mean, it's not as stacked as some of the other organizations. But down in their top 30, if you scroll down a little bit, you got Randy Florentino, who was in short A. And they have another guy, David Garcia, who is also in short A, who's number 30 on their list. Both guys that are, like, David Garcia is number 30, but he was, like, one of the top catching prospects out of the 2016 international class. He's got an ETA of 2022. So here's my thing is, that's what I was saying before, is if Maley works out, if he does, I mean, let's just say he does. Let's say he performs okay. Let's say Stallings performs okay. And we have both of these guys to cover us for the next, 2 years. And then you have a guy who's one of, like, the top, prospects from a class. Or, we don't have any catchers in the top 30 of prospects right now. And you can grab one of these guys. Or if you can tear, basically, like, you know what? You got two of those guys. You know what? Or do you want to trade us Sam Huff? So they've got three guys that they can give us there. And everybody says that I'll be obsessed with catchers. We need catchers in our system. We need catchers in our system so bad. It's ridiculous. And everybody who has, if you can throw that in, that one catcher, it doesn't even have to be the center of that. I'm just naming the guys because people are focused on, we got this crappy catcher right now. Well, guess what? Marte's getting traded. They were talking about trading Frazier to the A's for what's that kid's name? I can't think of it. He's like a 6'4", 220-pound catcher out of high school. Oh, he's a good kid. I can't think of his name. It'll come to me. But the thing for me was I was just like, I remember listening to him on a podcast at some point, and they were asking him, what's it like to get that 6'4", 220-pound frame, up and down throughout the game? He's going to be at first base or DH before the end of his career.
Listen, you want to know how exciting the Pirates are right now? You go on the Pirates homepage with Major League Baseball, and you look at the top stories, I mean the top stories, Craig, the ones that have like the pictures on them, right? And you go, you flip through the pictures on the front with the main stories. Bucks maintain a low profile. Next one is get some Pirates tickets for Christmas. Next one is another ticket promotion. The fourth story is that Def Leppard and Motley Crue are coming with Poison and Joan Jett to the stadium.
Okay? I love rock and roll, Chris.
It's not as exciting as you want it to be. I get it. I mean, like, it's not going to be as exciting as you want it to be. Because even when they make a good trade, you're going to be upset because of who they're giving away. You want to be angry about it, be angry about it. I get it. But what you are angry about is you're angry with the owner for allowing the guys who are in charge before to let it get this bad. That's where the anger has to be directed. You can't be angry at Charrington and the new guys that are in there saying the only way we fix this is by fixing everything from the inside out again, because that's really the only way you're actually going to be able to do it. And the Pirates also, you have to remember with their financial status, the Pirates are also in this very interesting window right now where if you go into a rebuild, when you start to come out of it, there'll be a new CBA. And you don't even know what the rules will be at that point. Will there be a luxury tax? Will the way that money gets spread around go differently? Will guys be, you know, like what will be the new market inequity that is created by the new CBA for 2021? So the Pirates have this very interesting thing here where the most important thing they should have is talent. And they have to plan not knowing what it's going to look like that first off season that they're ready to go for it or do anything. So they have to be a little conservative, but they also know that guys like Marte and guy, you know, some of these other guys that you like, they're not going to be there when it's time for them to start doing this. And so it's, look, it sucks. I get it. I get why people are annoyed about it, but what are you going to do? Unless you take over the team, is there some sort of Pepsi billion-dollar contest like they used to have a long time ago? Is Warren Buffett still giving away a billion if somebody gets the entire NCAA tournament right in March? You think you can win that and buy the Pirates? Otherwise, you're just shaking your fist angrily in the air and angry typing on Twitter. And I just think that there's better ways to spend your time here in the holiday season. Go hug your kids. Just relax and see what happens.
If there's change happening and if there's stuff that I feel like it is going in a good direction, I can kind of get excited about it. I can get excited about them taking a chance on a guy who they all had a chance to look at, give him a one-year deal, see if they can make something of it. If they make something of it, they got control. Or, you know what? They got a good catcher for the next 3 years. If it doesn't turn out, then you drop them. They got a guy who's 37 years old, who's deep into analytics, who's going to try to come in and you know, right the ship with the pitchers, or at least get them moving in the correct direction. So for me, I think everything so far has been win, 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 win. There's not one move they've made so far that I've been like, This is what is going to bring us down over the next few years. So that's where I've settled on the fact that when we talked about, like, you know, the rebuild, it's like the stuff that we were going to be cheering. You have to get a little bit excited, not like overly excited, but you have to get a little bit excited about the little stuff. You're not going to get the big name free agent this year. You're not going to get, you know, I don't even know who the big name pitching coach would be. I don't even know if there's a guy out there that is a big name pitching coach. But whoever he is, you're not getting him because he's probably either with another team or he's already retired. Chris, Ben Charrington basically turned down two jobs last year, more high profile jobs with the Giants and the Mets, basically saying that the way he would come back to be a general manager if it was a team that was going into a rebuild. Bucko fans, we're going into a rebuild. It's going to happen, so you've got to be prepared.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.